Hi everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm Ross Edwards. How are your New Year's resolutions going? Yes, we are continuing this month's theme on why New Year's resolutions fail. And we are really going in deep into the psychology of goal setting and sort of autonomy and personal change. So if you're just joining for the first episode in this series, this is the second. If this is your first episode this month, welcome, and I hope you find it really interesting. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to now sort of shift to talking about what gets in the way of independent, autonomous goal setting and achievement. And this is where we can start transitioning from that state where we're unable to set goals and carry them out over time to being able to do that and feeling the power and the change that can bring in your life. Just before we get started, let me mention that I offer private coaching for deep psychological understanding. It's for people who really want to understand how they think, feel, and act and start living from that insight. So head to the link in the description to book a free 20-minute session with me. So let's get into the meat of today's episode, the second episode in our January series. And I think it's really important to put into context what we're doing. So we're discussing, you know, what gets in the way of people setting goals, holding to them, setting the habits in place, and all the rest of it. And we're also talking about how we go about doing that. And with that in mind, it's really crucial before we go any further to mention that there is actually a developmental component to achievement. And this is what we were talking about last week. I was basically saying that beyond a certain level of ego development, you might like to check out my articles on my site on ego development. Just search in the toolbar for those. Before the achiever level of ego development, you actually don't have the psychological machinery required to do what we're doing here or do what we're talking about here. And if you don't have that, you can't just immediately install it. It's something that, I mean, a lot of people straight up never install it. It never becomes installed in them for one reason or another. And we can't, you know, I can't just tell you what it's like and then, you know, you take it away and you listen a few times and then that's it. And we also can't just change your psychological makeup. So it's tricky. You might be asking, well, if there is a fundamental psychological limitation involved here, how do I change it? And there's two basic strategies here. On my behalf, what I can do is I can sort of invite you in. I can describe what it's like to do this, and I can invite you in and say, this is what it's like. Have a look around. What do you think? And how, see if you can apply it to your life. And also what you can do is basically fake it till you make it. That's really my strategy for a lot of things, is fake it until you make it. You know, what is it like to operate at this level? And, you know, what are the behaviors and habits involved? And then can you reverse engineer that and say, well, if this is where I need to get to, then this is what I'm going to do to reach it. And basically, you learn by training yourself to do it. And then you look back and you realize, oh, I actually am inhabiting like a new level of psychological development. So we're talking today specifically about what gets in the way, okay? Now, because we're talking about the move to achiever level of ego development, we have to talk about what is happening at the pre-achiever levels that are getting in the way of, you know, setting goals and working towards them independently. And what I see is that basically the pre-achiever levels are built on assumptions that are developmentally logical for those stages, but become very questionable at later levels. And essentially, this is one absolutely critical insight that it might not seem very deep or important the first time you hear it, but when you chew it over, you'll realize that, shit, this actually like explains so much. Basically, before you get to the achiever level of ego development, you fundamentally believe that the self is fixed. That you are fixed. You know, your personality traits, your characteristics, your skills, your interests, your hobbies, your career, your friends, your family, where you live, etc., etc. That basically it's all fixed. So that is just an absolutely critical insight, because even that explains a lot as to why, until achiever, you cannot actually take charge of your own personal growth. Because how can you take charge of something, and how can you initiate and maintain change in something that you believe to be fixed? Like, that is simply not possible. So literally within the operating sort of the operational assumptions within the operating system, there is this kind of very fundamental line of code which says, I am fixed, right? Now, so keep that in mind. And what happens is, because of this, all kinds of further ideas are created regarding learning and change. And we're going to look at those one by one. There's really three critical ones, and I'm going to call them learning myths. And by identifying what these are, we sort of start to invite you beyond pre-achiever consciousness. And listen, if you're not pre-achiever, if you really identify with achiever and beyond, then it'll, you know, it'll still address remaining limiting ideas you have in your mind. The reason I'm addressing it from this point of view is that when I look at people, when I talk to people, you know, whether this is coaching clients or whether this is my people I'm close to, my family, my friends, the main reasons that people fail are because they have these myths in their mind. And if you have these myths, they're going to prevent anything else from happening up top. You know, these are sitting right sort of near the kernel of your psyche, really. And so if you're trying to make personal change happen and you have these myths in your mind, it's not going to be easy for you. So let's get right to them. There's three myths right here. Myth number one is the magic shortcut myth. So what this basically means is that there's a magic shortcut to success. You believe there's a magic shortcut to success. And that basically other people can bypass hard work by finding shortcuts and taking quantum leaps, and you can't, right? And one, I just want you to notice if you believe this. And two, I want you to notice how much this is based on the idea that the self is fixed, because you're assuming that you're not taking into account change, and you're not taking into account how change really works, which is it works slowly over time, and that no one bypasses this. I mean, there might be shortcuts, but in the grand scheme of things, you need to go through the mastery process, you need to go through the change process in whatever you're trying to improve in, whatever your resolution is based on. And yes, there are quantum leaps, but those are not really the foundation of success. The foundation of success is just persistence and hard work, really. And if you believe this, you're basically doomed from the start, because you're going to be waiting for a shortcut to appear. You're going to be waiting for this jump of progress, this magical jump of progress that will finally take you to your goal. And most of the time that just simply doesn't happen, I'm afraid. Myth number two is called the not me myth. This basically means that you feel that for some reason you are incapable of doing it or setting this goal and reaching it. Sure, other people might be, but you're not able to. For some reason, you're not wired for it. You're incapable. It's because you're too yourself, you know, you're too you and you've got all these limitations. And notice how prevalent this is. Like, obviously, look at it in yourself first, but also think about family and friends and whatnot. And you'll realize that this is a very prevalent belief. You know, we tend to think that we tend to have a bit of imposter syndrome. And we tend to think that other people, yes, they've maybe done it and they've achieved it and they deserve it, but for some reason I am not. And even if I do, I feel like a bit of an imposter because it doesn't really fit with my identity of who I am, right? And again, this is very linked to the fundamental idea or perception that the self is fixed, because you're in saying not me, you're saying I am a certain way and I will always be that way, and because of that I'm not gonna get what I want to get to. And apart from the fact that you maybe aren't the way you think you are, even if you are, you can change that. But you can't change it if you believe that the self is fixed. So look at this, you know, when you set goals, when you set New Year's resolutions and whatnot, do you actually believe really that you are capable of doing it? Or is this not me thing lingering in the back of your mind? And if it is, well, listen, you're never going to take the action necessary because you fundamentally believe that you are flawed in some way. And so what action are you going to take? Because any action you take is just useless from your point of view. And this, I know this might sound very sort of abstract and complicated, but this is something that is felt on a visceral level. You know, it's like pre-verbal almost. It's like something that you feel in your body. You just feel incapable somehow. And what I'm basically saying is that you're incapable because you haven't done it. Once you do something enough, you become capable. And that is just fact. There might be some exceptions, but that is, in a very large majority of cases, that is how it happens. And finally, the talent myth. This is the number one myth, the talent myth. This is the idea that you are born with certain skills and that if you attempt to develop competence in other areas, you will fail. The talent myth. This is so prevalent. Like, it's quite remarkable. I mean, I think I've gotten used to it now, but when I fully sort of saw how much people believe in the talent myth, it was very shocking to me, and it took a bit of time for me to just kind of see it as normal. But it is a myth. Like, there's no doubt about it. It's simply not true, and I can tell you this from my own experience, from having gone through a lot of sort of growth processes myself, that you're not really born with any skills at all as a human being. You don't know how to walk. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to eat. You don't even know how to stand up. You don't know how to dress yourself to begin with. You don't know how to count to 10. You don't know how to do your times tables, let alone all the things we learn to do as adults and as we grow older. Competence is something you earn. This is true of all the things we learn to do when we're young, and it's true of all the things we learn to do when we're older, and I can guarantee this to you. Competence is something you earn. It's not something you are born with. And the reason, in my humble opinion, the reason people believe in the talent myth is simply because they are at pre-achiever levels of consciousness. They are literally at a level of psychological development where they believe the self is fixed, right? They don't just believe that about themselves. They believe it about human nature in general because they just project their own psychology onto the world. So you look at a tennis player, like a world-class tennis player, if you're at a pre-achiever level of development, you're going to say, oh, he was born that way. Because that is how you understand human nature, right? Now, and then someone comes along and asks you, well, oh, well, he put 10,000 hours of practice in, for example. You're just going to say, well, ah, well, he had the talent already. So you cannot process that fact. It's like you cannot see beyond this idea that the self is fixed. And this is where the talent myth comes from. Notice that talent is often given like very quasi-scientific, genetic, and biological explanations, like he was born to play tennis, or it was in his genes, or it was in the family, or it runs in the family, or things like this, you know, things that basically say at birth it was given and he is now a tennis player. This is simply not true. Like, it is not true. I mean, it might be true on a, you know, to the ontology of pre-achiever consciousness, it seems true. But once you reach achiever and beyond, you realize that the self is not fixed. And there's no need for talent. We don't need this weird theory that we have that people are somehow born with a skill that is. When we're not born with any fucking skills for anything, and I've just given you examples of things we don't have a clue what to do when we're younger and we learn how to do them, that is exactly the same with even weirder things like how to play tennis and how to write well and how to play a guitar. These things are not something we are born with. Like, oh my God, just. I know I'm maybe getting a bit wound up here, but it does wind me up because it's just not true. And you see people across the media talking like this, and it's like you're fucking people over because you're getting them to believe in this talent myth, mister. So those are the myths, right? And once you understand that these things are myths, you start to get a taste of what achiever consciousness is like, because you're sort of taking the blocks away, you're taking the developmental assumptions or the developmentally guided assumptions from pre-achiever consciousness, and you're holding them up to the light of day, and you're saying, well, maybe they're not true after all, and then you can ask the question, what is true about learning and growth then? And that is when perhaps a more achiever-oriented mindset starts to come online for you. My method for training these principles is very pragmatic. You train it, and how you do this is, you know, let's say you're doing a New Year's resolution. You basically devise a training schedule for yourself and you follow it for 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, etc. And you will see that these things are myths, and you will understand that the self is not fixed, and you will start to take charge of your own personal growth. And that is really what Achiever and Beyond, well, it comes online at Achiever and then it's baked in after that. So it This is what achiever consciousness is really about. And so it's, as I said, it's something I can invite you in, and it's something you can train. We can't just wave a magic wand and get you up to achiever level of egoic consciousness, but that's the groundwork. And next week, what I'm going to do is I am going to really going to the fundamental principles of success and of personal growth and of taking charge of it yourself. And this will really round off this month's series nicely. So thanks a lot for listening today, everyone. Please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You might also like to subscribe to my newsletter. Head to the website. It's in the main menu on the website. And of course, I just want to remind you before I say goodbye that I offer private coaching for deep psychological understanding for people who want to really understand how they think, feel, and act and start living from that insight. So head to the link in the description to book a free 20-minute session with me. All right, thanks everyone. I will be back next Wednesday with the final installment in this January series. Just remember for now, the self is not fixed and talent is a myth. You do not need to be talented to reach very high levels in whatever you want. Thank you, and I'll see you very soon.